Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q1 FY25 earnings conference call of Eveready Industries India Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nishid Solanki from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Eveready Industries India's Q1 FY25 earnings conference call. Today, we are joined by senior members of the management team, including Mr. Suvamai Saha, Managing Director, Mr. Vivek Agarwal, Executive Director and Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin the call, let me first share a standard disclaimer. Some of the statements that may be made on today's conference call could be forward-looking in nature, and the actual results could vary from these forward-looking statements. A detailed statement is actually available in the press release document, which has been circulated to you earlier and also available on stock exchange website. I would now like to invite Mr. Saha to share his perspectives with you. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Nishid, and thank all of you for joining us on our first quarter earnings call for the current financial year. We are a company that is seeking improvement, and there are multiple initiatives to drive our objectives. I hope to bring clarity to these aspects through this forum. The first quarter conveys a moderated picture of revenues, as we are comparing against the high base of same quarter previous year. However, beyond this apparent, there are underlying growth momentum in the business, which I will cover in greater detail when I address segmental perspectives. Profitability was satisfactory, and I will brief highlights on that when I speak on results. Our initiatives revolve around product offerings, brand connect to consumers, the go-to-market processes, and our people, and I will now draw your attention to each of these initiatives. Our company prides itself on delivering product offerings that are not only contemporary but also innovative and highly relevant in today's fast-paced market. We constantly monitor industry trends and consumer preferences to ensure our products meet the highest standards of quality and functionality. This means that we incorporate the latest technologies and aesthetic trends, ensuring our products are modern, stylish, and desirable. Additionally, we focus on sustainability and efficiency, aligning our products and processes with the growing need for environmentally responsible solutions. This strategic approach allows us to stay ahead of the curve, continuously delighting our consumers and creating value for our stakeholders. We also continuously work on our brand to stay connected with our consumers. This involves regularly updating our brand strategy, engaging with our audience through various channels, and listening to their feedback. By doing so, we ensure that our brand remains relevant, resonates with our consumers, and meets their evolving needs and preferences. Eveready is a high-recall brand, and we are actively taking steps to maintain and leverage this advantage. With an Olympian as a brand ambassador, we are creating salience in communication. We continue to expend slightly higher proportion of sales on A&P relative to the industry average at our scale, but we think this is a deemed necessity as we create a strong base for growth. As mentioned in our earlier calls, we took an important improvement initiative in revamping our distribution in order to modernize the go-to-market processes of our company. As also mentioned in our earlier calls, we encountered challenges both from design and implementation. These errors were identified and are being actioned upon, and we believe that this will have no great impact on our operations as we go forward. As part of our initiative, we are also using a more diverse set of channels beyond the general trade, whereas we have lagged in this previously. We have moved levers to cover better modern retail, e-commerce, quick commerce, and institutional sales. these new channels will play a crucial role in the coming quarters to boost growth. As for the people, the company has onboarded senior-level business leaders who are each spearheading growth within segments. These new initiatives being taken up by these leaders, which are opening up pockets of growth for us. Going forward, our talent pool will play a vital role in actualizing growth and profitability. I shall now turn my attention to segmental highlights. Batteries being the largest contributor to our performance, I will commence here. We continued to hold our market share at 53% plus of the overall battery market. The segment of carbon zinc batteries, which still constitutes nearly 90% of the battery market by value, remained muted during the quarter, primarily due to weak rural demand, and our performance was in line with the market. However, we had momentum in our alkaline category, which carried the bulk of our communication initiatives for batteries. Though of a small base, on the back of a 52% growth last year, we realized a 67% increase in value terms during the quarter. With 61% of our turnover and 85% of our profitability coming from the battery segment, it remains a crucial area of focus for us. We continue to invest significantly on development within this sector to maintain our competitive edge and our aspiration for growth. Moving on to flashlights. The chief highlight for the quarter has been that the pace of degrowth in the battery-operated category has receded considerably. Historically, there has been a high degree of seasonality during the first two quarters of the year. This was somewhat missing during the last financial year. We see that having changed during the current quarter, this resulted in the battery-operated flashlights revenue degrowing by a very small 3% against 15% plus trend noticed in the previous year. Given the prediction for a normal monsoon, a rebound in agriculture is expected, which will strengthen the rural economy, rural spending recovery. This will provide a much-needed relief to the flashlights market. Our other objective has been on gaining ground in the rechargeable category, and there were a number of SKUs which we launched during the quarter. While these SKUs came with unique functionalities, impact in this segment is taking longer time due to the presence of spurious or semi-spurious products in a crowded marketplace. The overall category had a small growth during the quarter. We are the market leader of flashlights market, and we believe our persistence in providing the market with innovative products will not only provide us with growth, but also strengthen our leadership position. Let me extend my discussion to LED lighting. The value erosion that had become systemic to the industry is abating. However, it is still showing up quite starkly when compared to the same quarter of last year. We had handsome volume growth in LED bulbs by 6%, emergency bulbs by 66%, consumer luminaires by 12%. Even our small professional luminaire business showing 50% growth, the overall business would show a marginal growth of 1.4% only in revenue due to the higher prices prevailing in this period of last year. Also, the business turned in a positive EBITDA at 3.1% vis-a-vis the break-even situation last year. While we continue to use our general trade channels to distribute the basic SKUs from the portfolio, the critical success factor lies in our ability to put up a strong network of electrical outlets specializing in lighting products. While this took a backseat during the implementation of the RTM, we are strongly back on track with this and hope to have a complete network as per our requirement by the end of this financial year. Be that as it may, lighting continues to be our key focus area for growth. I will now share my views on the quarter's results. The quarter saw revenues at 349.4 crore versus 363.6 crore last year in the same period. Revenue growth for the quarter was contained by several factors, including a high base effect, slower uptake in the carbon zinc range, ongoing weakness in battery-operated flashlights, though at a slower pace, and value erosion in the lighting segment. I have spoken of all of these in the earlier parts of my remarks. Our EBITDA and PAT numbers are strong as we are seeing traction in value-creating categories and offerings. For the quarter, both increased by 14.2% and 18.5% respectively. These come as a result of cost initiatives and favorable input costs. A&P expenses were sustained at a high level at 9%, which I had called out as a necessary investment in my earlier remarks. As for the outlook, we are gearing for a positive outlook year on year. There is underlying momentum in the categories where we are focused in each of the segments. Already, we are seeing momentum in alkaline batteries and the expanded range of rechargeable flashlights. The professional luminaires business is showing promise and is on the path for higher contribution to growth. With the challenges from the RTM being mostly over, we shall also see stronger traction in the sales mechanism, though it will be in the second half of this year for that to become meaningful and evident. And lastly, for an update, in line with our progress in the alkaline battery segment and our optimistic outlook on this category, the board of the company has approved an investment of Rs. 180 crores to set up an alkaline plant with a capacity of 360 million units. With that, I come to the end of my initial remarks and I request the moderator to commence the Q&A process, and we are ready to address queries from the participants. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take a first question from the line of Dhruv from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, first question from me was around the capex that you have undertaken. So if you could just, briefly highlight, what necessitated this and, what is the market size of alkaline and, what would be the cost difference versus importing it versus making it in-house. Any color there would be very helpful.
So, alkaline is the one segment in the overall battery market which is growing much faster than the traditional carbon zinc. Currently, the market size is of about, 350 odd million batteries, which goes into both the retail market as well as for OEM consumption. We are currently at an annual selling rate of about 60 odd million batteries, which is improving day by day, and we are setting up this plant which will come into commission within a year's time, at which point of time we think that we will grow much higher than the current level. So it is address the need of a growing segment that we have made proactively this investment.
So what would be the price difference versus importing and making it in India? Is there any duty arbitrage?
There are two segments to the alkaline market. One is the premium alkaline and the other is the value alkaline. I would say for the value alkaline, the difference would be certainly at least 10%, in cost, where we will be favorable by making it in the country.
Okay.
Also enables us, to seek areas which we have not explored before.
Makes sense. And I mean, so second question for me was that we've seen a very sharp gross margin improvement, and you also spoke about improving the share of alkaline. Just wanted to understand what would be the, you know, like-to-like gross margin differential between alkaline and carbon steel batteries?
So primarily, they are in very similar zones. The premium alkaline, of course, is, I would say, 5 or 6% higher than the best of the carbon zinc offering, and the value alkaline would be sort of similar to our popular offering on the carbon zinc segment.
Okay. And sir, if you could just give out
As time goes by, and as it has happened in all other countries, the saliency of premium alkaline will grow higher vis-a-vis the value alkaline. That is something that has been demonstrated in other countries. But India is, you know, in its very nascent stage with alkaline experience.
So, sir, out of these 360 million batteries, what would be the share of premium alkaline at this point of time?
So this line, the same line would produce both premium and popular, so I mean value. So it would depend on the market requirements that we would, you know, cater to accordingly in our production.
And sir, I was talking more from an industry perspective. So, you know, out of 360 million market that you spoke about, I mean, at this point of time, what would be the premium share at this for the market?
Premium share would be about 30-odd% in the retail market. It could be higher on the OEM side. In fact, it is higher on the OEM side. If you take, you know, all the batteries that go into the EVMs and stuff like that, those are all premium products.
Got it. And sir, you know, you spoke about, you know, alternative channels in your opening remarks. Just wanted to understand that, you know, what is the share of revenue from an alternative channel perspective at this point of time, and any targets that you have set, say, 2 years out?
So currently at about 15%, the alternative, the channels that I mentioned, and I think, you know, obviously it is our day-to-day endeavor to go higher than that, and maybe by the end of the year, we will try to go beyond 16% at least, if not more.
Got it. And sir, this last thing from my side, if you could just, you know, give the segment and EBITDA numbers and revenue numbers for all the three verticals.
I'll leave my colleague to.
So, you know, segmental issue, as Suma said, that 80% of the operating margin comes from battery. So around 39 crore comes from battery, flashlight around 9 crore, and lighting is just about the water, so it's around 2 crore.
Okay, thanks so much, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Mithun Aswath from Kiva Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Just wanted to understand, in your revenues on the battery side, how much is coming from alkaline and from carbon zinc currently? And is there a degrowth in the carbon zinc market overall? So if you could explain the size of each of the markets in terms of volume and value, and since you're putting up this 180 crores, what kind of revenues could we get? What is the kind of asset turnover expected in such a facility? And by when do you think we would get to optimum utilization of that capacity, sir?
I will answer part of this, and Vivek would address the asset turnover and the segmental in our company. But let me tell you about the industry per se. So it is the, you know, this is what I tell you is as per Nielsen. So as per Nielsen, the market, the volume is about 3 billion units, and the market size is about 3,000 crores, of which about 300 odd crores is alkaline. So it is 10% is alkaline, balance is carbon zinc. These are all at consumer prices. So don't try to relate this to the company's revenue, because company's revenue then plus plus is the consumer price, which is what gets reported by Nielsen, and that is the only authentic third-party data that we have, because otherwise we cannot comment on the market as a whole. With regard to carbon zinc, how has been the growth parameter for the market? Yes, it has been muted this year, last year, as well as this quarter, but primarily due to, you know, weak consumer pool in the rural side particularly. And I will request to address the rest of them.
So as you see that is this investment we are coming, while for primarily alkaline is coming, there will be some other product line. So we are expecting, and we have spoken that how cost beneficial this investment of alkaline could be, and new avenues will come up. So this is preparation for the future. So we expect in the year third to become an asset turnover to be a 1:1. So that is why at the right time we thought to invest this in this and get the benefit of that.
Okay. So you expect actually the alkaline market to grow quite rapidly, right?
Yeah. So actually today, if also you see the high double-digit growth is coming while the carbon zinc is stagnant category. And globally, this is very high percentage of the total battery share compared to India. India, still you are around 10%, but if you go to the other progressive country, it is 40 to 50%, even somewhere US and Europe country is much higher. The growth in alkaline is much faster than the carbon zinc.
And in terms of the manufacturing cost of alkaline versus carbon zinc, are the raw materials different? Are the margins more predictable? What is the difference and why would consumers move to this? Is it longer lasting batteries? Just wanted your take on that.
So, you know, consumers turn to alkaline primarily because, you know, they can afford to pay for it. And yes, the service is also commensurately higher. So people who can afford, they will try to buy batteries which they need to change less frequently. So hence alkaline. As far as the company is concerned, the margin profile is very much by and large the same. We are only trying to tap into the growth segment of the market.
Got it. And so I just wanted your understanding on, say, the rechargeable battery segment. Is that something which is likely to also scale up significantly as more electronic products are there in the house? Like, you know, I think a lot of people use those, locks, which are now electronic, and other such products. Just wanted your thoughts on that, or that market has not at all really grown in India.
So, you know, we are also in the business of and are the leaders of the rechargeable batteries market. When I say rechargeable batteries, I am only referring to the cylindrical cells, right, which you can put in a device, recharge and fit into other devices. I am not at all referring to, and I am sure you are also not referring to, the pack batteries that goes into smartphones and, you know, all kinds of other devices. So, in the cylindrical consumer rechargeable cell, the market has remained stagnant forever. We, as I said, we are the market leader. I think we would be, though there is no actual enumeration of that, we would be, you know, our estimate would be 35-40% of that market. But that market's not going anywhere. Because the only reason is only professionals use it, particularly photographers, because the hassle factor is too much. I mean, you take out the batteries from your device, charge them, and again put it back. People don't want that kind of hassle. So at one point of time, the value conscious consumers were really sort of taking on to it quite famously, but since then it has sort of petered out worldwide, not only in India.
Got it. So lastly, if I may, obviously now you're seeing alkaline as being a growth driver, but since a large proportion of your revenues comes from carbon zinc, would it largely kind of cannibalize your existing business? So your overall revenues are not going to grow quite meaningfully. It would take some time. Similar to what's happening in your flashlights business. Do correct me if I'm wrong, but I just wanted to understand how are we going to, you know, scale to those 2x of revenue targets in the next 4 years when our underlying categories are slightly under pressure. So just wanted your thoughts on that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, I would say that the battery overall, our outlook is really, you know, I would say mid-single digit growth. We are not talking of more. We are just ensuring that we flow with the market, get onto the right category, so that, you know, we are not sort of left, you know, holding the baby, you know, with a very large portfolio of carbon sink batteries. And with nothing, so this is actually the first investment in alkaline batteries in the country, incidentally. There would be some amount of cannibalization. We have factored all that in. And with that, we feel there would be kind of mid-single digit kind of growth in the batteries. So that is where it stands. And eventually, the salience of batteries in the company's overall turnover profile will come down marginally and gradually as time goes. Flashlights, we still think it's a huge growth driver. We have not yet been able to extract the potential that exists for us as the leader of the market, primarily because, you know, as I said in my remarks, there are too many spurious and semi-spurious informal kind of products in the market, and it will take us a little time in trying to sort of establish with the consumers, you know, the rich functionality that we offer into the offer with our products, and, you know, the safety and the longevity, etc. So it takes time, but we are quite clear that flashlight will continue to give us a high level of growth. I would say certainly beyond 10%. 10 to 15 is what we are looking at this point of time. And let's see, there are other triggers which I think it will be a little premature for me to talk about at this stage. Maybe at a later stage we'll talk more about that. And obviously, as I said, lighting continues to be our key growth driver. And that is what we are sort of banking upon. And that's it. I mean, if you have any
last observation was on the LED and electricals. You were mentioning that you would want to get into new categories, maybe switches, or I don't know what you're looking at. Just wanted to understand, are you ready to do that now? Because you had mentioned that, but you wanted to postpone that. So just wanted your thoughts there.
No, so let me put it this way. When we talked about, you know, going into another category, it meant a new category. We are not talking of adjacent products. The adjacent products should be captured as it is. You know, like, for example, switches that you mentioned, or let us say within the batteries, you know, something, you know, let us say a power bank, etc. That we will capture as it is within the current categories. The fourth category on which we also need to work on, that work has not started yet, that would be a completely fresh category.
Okay. And what about on the adjacencies? Are you seeing something which is significant that you're looking at which could come in this year?
So, you know, I'm unfortunately sort of a little, how shall I say, forced to remain silent on this and offer no comments. We are sort of close to launching few of those. So it may not be the appropriate forum to just now announce this. We will obviously keep everyone apprised as we come closer to that market launch. But these are, as I said, adjacent categories.
Perfect, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a next question from Chirag from Keynote Capitals. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. The possibility. So my first question is related to the capacity expansion that we are taking. I just want to know, what is our current capacity size in terms of million units that we are manufacturing, and could some specification for carbon zinc and alkaline separately?
So currently we don't have any alkaline capacity. So see, today currently we import the alkaline and we repack and sell here. Okay. So whatever capacity we have only the carbon zinc. So cost disparity is so high, the import versus the in-house making. That is why separate, first time, as Subhoma has mentioned, is the first investment in the country itself. No other company also has an alkaline facility in India.
Okay. Thank you for this clarity. And secondly, sir, as you said that the asset turns for this particular capacity will be 1:1. And we are expected to spend about 180 crores. Just wanted to know what kind of utilization levels are you expecting to reach in a couple of years time, as well as what will be the source for the money of 180 crores that we will. Is it completely internal accruals or we are going to take debt?
So there are two parts. So first of all, as we said, currently at 360 million capacity we are talking about, currently we are trending to 60 million, and where we are seeing that it will be disproportionately growing in coming time. So you can make it out, you know, maybe at least next 3 to 4 years, we want to cross the half of the capacity separately. And we can also tap up the many other growth opportunity possible, whether it's institution or some other manufacturing thing. So that is beyond, you know, B2C retail. And with respect to the funding of that part, you know, we'll get something borrowed outside because there could be some interest benefit on that. So that we'll be looking, but yes, it will be partially will be given internally, but most of that will be a borrowed fund.
Okay. Sir, I actually missed on the revenue and the margin bifurcation when you gave about the segment. Could you repeat it once?
So revenue, if you ask me that, you know, the quarter revenue is around, as I said, 60% is the battery, around 17% flashlight, and 23% is the lighting. That is the quarter revenue for breakup. And with respect to margin, 80% the battery holds, and almost, and to give you like 39 crore is a battery, 9 crore is a flashlight, and 2 crore is a lighting.
I'm so sorry, sir. Could you repeat the margin, because I lost you somewhere in the between. Maybe there was
okay. So margin is 39 crore in battery, 9 crore in flashlight, and 2 crore in lighting business.
Okay. So we have finally making profit for the lighting segment. At what time, what end we are expecting lighting business EBITDA margins to reach in high single to low double digit? What is our internal expectation for that?
So as of now, our full focus is to make lighting neutral, right? Break even. You know, the last couple of years we are lost because, you know, lighting business to become a break even, it is probably a 400 crore turnover milestone we have to cross first time, and we are looking forward to that. And so this year our effort has to be at least we cross break-even level, and the next that mid to high level of banking is a 2 to 3 year journey from there.
Okay. Question is right. That you have mentioned about the.
Yeah, your voice is breaking, sir.
Hello, am I audible now?
A little better, please go.
Pretty garbled.
Am I audible now?
Yes.
So my next question is related to the market size of alkaline battery that you have mentioned. Could you give some color on the bifurcation if there is 350 million battery market size for alkaline currently? What is the mix of OEM replacement at this moment?
It is roughly 50-50, and as I said, the current market size is about 300 odd million pieces, and the total, you know, value of that would be somewhere upwards of 300 crores.
Right. And we are expecting it to grow in high double digit, this particular segment?
Yes, it is already growing at double digits. It is growing at around 20-odd%, and we expect that trend to continue in the foreseeable future at least.
Perfect. Thank you, sir. I'll join back with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, would like to remind participants to press star and 1 to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Vikas Srivastav from RBC Financial. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hello, Mr. Saraf. Finally, some positive and turnaround. Congratulations. Things seem to be looking good. I come back to my old question, Mr. Saha. What's happening on the court case, KKR? I also noticed in the balance sheet there is some real estate. My question is, if we get some settlement in KKR, what is expected? Of course, KKR has sold its debt and it's not there. What is the real estate which we have, which either we are not using or we don't plan to use? What is it worth in the market today? And what do you, is there any plan to dispose it of? And what do you intend to do with the money? And what numbers are we talking about of this real estate?
First of all, thank you. Thank you for the compliment. As far as KKR is concerned, KKR, there is, you know, I am unable to give any further, you know, sort of report on any progress because the claimant has sought adjournment of the arbitration proceedings, which the arbitration panel has now, which was supposed to be in the month of July, has now been pushed to November. Now, our understanding and what even the claimant has officially mentioned to the arbitration panel is that they are trying to reach to the, you know, the borrowers for some kind of settlement. So, which doesn't really concern us, but that is where it stands. Till that matter gets resolved, I mean, we are not looking at any kind of, you know, real estate sale or anything because we are not permitted to. We have embargo on that. Depending on the situation, I mean, there is no stated, you know, we run the company, you know, for its operations. I mean, if only, you know, something that seems very appealing as a principle, then only we will consider sale. There is no such articulated vision on, you know, any property being identified for sale as such.
I'm sorry, sir. His line is disconnected.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen,
come to the list.
Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to answer queries from all participants, please restrict your questions to two at a time. You may join back the queue for follow-up questions. Next question is from Gargi, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my question was, in your recent interview, you mentioned that our B2C revenue contribution was 5% and last year it was zero. So, a few questions on this. Firstly, is this 5% of B2C sales as a percentage of just the lighting segment or as a percentage of total revenue?
Madam, could you just once again explain that 5-2, I mean, we are primarily a B2C company, so almost 95% or 96% of our sale is B2C. So I am unable to understand in what context that 5% came in.
So direct retail, so I understand that 95% sales is through distributors. I was talking about the direct retail market.
That gets counted as B2C only, like any other FMCG company. And we have no direct sale to the consumer. We have no direct sales to the consumer. Not even 5%. That 5% also is, it is actually 0%. Nor is there any plan to directly reach out to consumers. Our model is not that.
Okay, sir. So secondly, in the battery segment, in your annual report, it is mentioned that we are doing sales of 1.3 billion and there is EBITDA of 130 crores. So that gives an EBITDA per unit of 1 rupee. So that is because that is considering our current mix, which is higher towards carbon zinc. So I wanted to understand how this unit economics will look for the alkaline battery segment at a similar utilization level.
So as we have mentioned that this alkaline investment is not from a margin perspective. It is the consumer trend, right? Now since we said that carbon zinc is stagnant and where the alkaline is growing double digit. So it is always important that we stay ahead on our curve and we invest on the right place. So margin profile in both the business at the average level will go same. So the I hope that, you know, I clarified you.
Yes, sir. What is the payback that we are expecting from this 130 crores investment? What kind of return ratios could this make?
Since it will be gradually, as you know that, you know, our investment we have planned for, like, you know, 360 million capacity we are going because it's a standard line. We'll be gradually progressing from 60 million to some number to going to some level. We look to at least 5-6-year timeframe to get money back from that investment.
All right, sir. When do we start expecting manufacturing of alkaline batteries?
One year from now, but the internal target is to try to do it faster. You know, let us say we are on fifth of August, we could talk of a first of August kind of date.
Okay, sir. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Namaskar, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, firstly, you mentioned about 60 million is our alkaline battery capacity, or this is the imports we do annually?
The current throughput. Current
throughput is 60 million.
Annualized.
What? Yes, sir.
Annualized.
Annualized is 60 million. Sir, what is the current market for alkaline battery, and who are the major dominant players? Who are the key players?
Major player is, of course, Duracell. We are the second, but they are quite a lot ahead of us.
Okay.
They'll be five times at least of our size.
Right, sir. Sir, when we look at your margins expansion for this quarter, the operating margins have EBITDA margins have expanded to 14.2%. How confident are you that these are the sustainable numbers or the factors which you alluded which has contributed to this margin increase? If you could just give us some understanding how are margins likely to shape going ahead.
You know, we are looking forward to certainly double-digit margin, but always, you know, the quarter ones are always our, for us, is a good margin timeline because it's a very heavy quarter from a battery perspective. For the full year, definitely we are looking for a double-digit operating margin.
Sir, we were at double digit last financial year, sir, at 10.7%.
Effort has to be better than that. Effort has to be certainly better than that.
Right. Can you give me the debt number, sir? Vivekji, what is the net debt number and the cost of funds?
Around 260 odd crore is our debt numbers.
What is our cost of funds?
8.7%.
Right. Sir, when we look at the other expenses line item, we find that for this quarter it is at 68 crore. What is the nature of this line item? Because last year also, I think so at revenue of 364 crore, we had an other expenses of 68 crore. This year also, on even on a lower top line, we are having the same line other expenses. If you could just explain the nature of the same.
I'm just telling you broadly, you know, this, so that part is that other expenses also include some inflation, as you know. These are broadly freight, shipping expenses, advertisement, professional charges, repair, maintenance, traveling, and all this put together.
Okay. No one-off items, sir?
Pardon? No one-off item. These are the regular items, sir.
Okay. The last point is about the Bain Capital investment which we made earlier for making our company RTM ready to market, as alluded by Shahji. Where are we in terms of that implementation? When are we going, are we bearing the fruit of the same currently, or are we still in the implementation stage? When are we going to see the benefits of the same?
Saket, as we have been maintaining that this was an improvement initiative from the company to sort of make our market reach more efficient. In doing so, we did face some challenges, which I also highlighted during my remarks. Most of those challenges are behind us. Some still remain, which we are working upon, and I think the full benefit of the RTM and let us say a new challenge kind of an operation would certainly happen from the second half of this year.
Okay. So in terms, that will lead to a margin improvement or operational efficiency?
That should provide to revenue growth rather than any cost improvement per se. Because the idea of the RTM was not to improve cost, it was with a view to improve efficiency of the go-to-market processes.
Right. Thank you, sir. I joined the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from Chirag from Keynote Capitals. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up. So my first question, my question is related to the appeal that we filed with NCLT for the CCI.
You have to just bring your phone close to you. Again, you have gone garbled.
Chirag, you can use your handset mode, please.
Am I audible now?
Yeah.
Yeah, now you are audible.
Okay. So my one question is related to the appeal that we have filed with NCLT, related to the penalty that was levied by CCI. What is the update on that?
So there has been no movement since we spoke last, or whatever that we reported in our year-ending report, there has been no further movement.
Okay. And the second question is related to, in your remarks, you have mentioned that due to premiumization, there was an improvement in EBITDA margin. As you have mentioned that alkaline batteries also have similar kind of margins, so I just wanted to understand what were the actual reason, what product mix has changed leading to improvement in gross margin and EBITDA margin?
So, you know, so that premiumization is not only for the improvement on the margin, premiumization is also goes for the revenue part. Like if you see alkaline batteries are coming at a much higher premium, like just to tell you an MRP perspective, that, you know, premium batteries are 45 to 50 rupees for alkaline, where the normal battery is ranging between 13 rupees to 18 rupees. So that's the one part. Second part is that there's a good mix change between the battery-operated flashlight and the rechargeable flashlight. The battery-operated flashlight carries a much higher margin and the revenue profile compared to the rechargeable one. And for our lighting portfolio also, now since we are moving more on our emergency lamps than the LED and other category, which are also getting to the higher revenue impact on the business.
Okay. That is it, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. Next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, yes. Sir, this new line which we are setting for 360 million for alkaline batteries will be in any of our existing facility, or will this be an entirely a greenfield project that we have to embark on? Where is the location, sir, we have selected?
That location is not yet, you know, the board has just now approved the investment. It does include, you know, some allocation for, you know, even a new location, but we have not yet that work is currently on. I think we would have a complete clarity on this by the time we speak next, if not earlier.
No, sir. Since you mentioned that within 1 year, we are contemplating to streamline the
thing. I think, no, because we will get an opportunity to speak again in 3 months' time, but this decision is going to be crystallized within 1 month.
Okay. So we can hear separately in the form of press release when we are finalizing the same for it.
Yeah. Yes. I think so. Since there is such curiosity, we don't make such press statements. I mean, we just needed to inform the investors and the analysts of our the overall investment, but we can certainly advise on the once the location is decided.
Sir, your opening remarks, you alluded to this high base effect part also. Sir, could you please explain the reason why, what are you referring in terms of high base effect when we have already mentioned that first quarter is generally the best quarter for the battery offtake. So can you explain, sir, in detail?
Basically, you know, last year you have seen that we have seen around 8-9% out of growth in the last year. Okay, generally, you know, as that point of time, we also did not have a alkaline in the growth factor. So last year, since we have just begun the RTM exercise, we have gone all bang in the market, and this is the first month of our RTM. So we have gone, and the revenue was a 9% growth. Generally, the battery, as you say, it is a mid-single digit growth of type of number ka. So that is the context of giving the high base effect.
So, you know, the salience of last year's first quarter on the overall year is much higher than what we estimate for this quarter to be on the FY25. That is what we meant by the high base effect.
And so you also mentioned about weakness in the battery operated flashlight. Although you mentioned that the battery operated flashlight definitely commands a higher premium than the rechargeable segment. So is the price differentiation that has created the weakness, or what factors led to this weakness? And again, what are we embarking going ahead from this category, especially the battery operated flashlight?
So as you know, Saket, this company was 100% battery operated. We started the rechargeable segment only a couple of years back. And last year was the first time we really went into it in a serious manner. Now, the battery operated business is sort of dwindling down, not because of the pricing. What has happened is people, with their gradual usages and their experience of smartphone charging, they also see value in charging another additional product which they use on a day-to-day basis, particularly in the rural segment. Earlier, there was no habit of charging, so people would just be happy, you know, replacing their batteries every 2-3 months and carry on with life. You know that consumers in this country are extremely cost-sensitive and cost-conscious. So when they have seen that for almost the same price, they can buy a product which they can keep charging and use it for maybe 1.5-2 years, they have opted for this. So it has nothing to do with the battery-operated flashlights price to the consumer. It is more people's lifestyle and their people's mode of, you know, how they conduct their lives is changing. And happily, this quarter saw that decline to be coming down. Last year, right through the year, we saw a trend of something like 50-odd%. This quarter, it came down to 3%, which is a happy news for us.
Okay, so we are looking that this has now moderated out and this will remain this at this level.
We do not know, Saket. We have to be very clear. We don't know whether this moderation is sustainable, whether it has sort of settled down to this level forever. Because, you know, earlier, you are very familiar with the company. Earlier, D-size batteries, when they started degrowing, after a period of degrowth, we thought that, okay, the worst is over, now it will settle down at this level. But it just kept degrowing and degrowing, now it has almost become almost next to nothing. So our thrust on the flashlight segment is on the rechargeable one. We are facing challenges there, not from, you know, developing a portfolio or any such thing. We have a very decent portfolio now. Okay, there are, you know, other spurious kind of products and, you know, all kinds of, what shall I say, informal products. See, because they do not comply with the formal norm, that's why I call them informal products. But, you know, ultimately, an organized player will finally make his mark. So we are biding our time. We know that, you know, this is something, and we are banking on double-digit growth from this segment. I mean, rest assured.
A small point then, what is the difference, Manipav, the sales mix between battery operated and recharge out of the total flashlight portfolio? What percentage is rechargeable and balance the battery operated?
It is still 2/3, 1/3. Battery operated is still 2/3. Rechargeable, which is the one that we started practically from last year, has now come up to a 35%.
And last question is on the lightning segment part. So this segment definitely, as you mentioned about the value erosion part also, and also we see the choice for consumer also changing. So, what is giving you the confidence? There are many players in this lighting segment, especially I think though the professional lighting is also gaining a lot of traction. So what is our thought process, especially as you alluded that growth will come from the lighting segment? And are we doing this third-party manufacturing in this segment with players like Dixon and all managing our manufacturing? If you could just allude the same.
So, you know, this market dynamic is not something that has happened just now. It has been a competitive market for all its times. There are in 12 very different brands. You know, like for example, you are a consumer, you go to the shop, there is Philips, there is Havells, there is Eveready, there is Orient. Any of those brands you are happy to pick. Correct? So it is a of whether you have the right product, where the question of, you know, making the right portfolio comes in, and then making the product available at the counters. Now, every retailer prefers to keep three or four brands, because beyond that it becomes too cluttered for him also. So it is the, you know, the company skill set, whichever it is, I mean, whether it is a Philips or a Havells or us, you have to be that preferred partner in that retailer's counter. So that is how, you know, it is hard work. There is nothing much else. So that people have made space, you know, as you rightly said, professional, you know, the professional lighting. There were very few players earlier. Philips of the world would be good at it, Crompton would be good at it. But today, a Surya, an Orient, they're equally good at it. You know, they have grown faster than those bigger players. So we have entered that segment. We are growing at a faster clip than anybody else, but of a very small base. You know, we grew 50%, but of a very small base. But we will keep growing. So we are quite confident that while the market is competitive, it is hard work, it is structure, it is organization, it is brand, which will take you there.
Right. If I could just squeeze in one understanding. We also find in our country the mosquito rackets, the electrical ones, are gaining lot of traction in societies and homes because of the menace of all varieties of mosquitoes and the diseases associated. So do we contemplate anything in the product pipeline wherein we can look to launch or we are working this as the price segment is around 100 rupees? Yeah.
We already entered that segment. We already entered that segment during the quarter with a very small turnover, but we plan to be a reasonable player in that segment as well.
What are the entry prices, sir, for the same?
I think the consumer price, you know, we have got two, three variants. One is at, I think, 499, 599, and 799, which is the best, you know, with DMI.
Okay. But at market price, sir, 150-250 is the consumer choice of what we people are buying. Yeah.
No, no, sir. So, you know, the consumer operating price is always different in this market. Just like lights, you know, MRP would be, say, 160 rupees. The product is sold to the consumer at 100 rupees or less. Similarly for mosquito rackets, and it is also for us, but we don't compare ourselves with 150. That we are not in the same space. So those are Chinese or whatever informal products, they will keep selling. We don't want to compete with them.
Right, sir. All the best, sir, and hope for improved set of reported earnings going ahead, and much to hear on the alkaline part of the story. I think so that would be a good growth trigger for the company, which we are waiting for a very long time. That would be a sustainable number also. Yeah. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll take our next question from the line of Vikas Srivastava from RBC Financial. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Sorry, Mr. Saha, you know, my line got disconnected, so do bear with me. Very quickly, my question was on that litigation and the real estate. Specifically on to the real estate, do you have any premises, factory, anywhere in India? Because I do remember many years back, I've been a very old investor with you,
We did sell some Hyderabad property. Is there a factory premises land anywhere in India today which is lying unutilized for manufacturing or office work?
So,
I'll ask you a very specific question.
Huh.
Because so, I do remember at that time there were two pieces of land which were sale was being contemplated. I'm talking about as good as 7 or 8 years back.
Yeah. So, I don't know how much you heard on the last time.
I didn't hear. I'm so sorry. Are you please bear with me? No, just, no. I so got disconnected as soon as I finished.
No, no, no problem. No problem. Let me just complete that answer. So the KKR matter has been deferred to November for the next hearing. The final hearing was supposed to take place in July, but at the request of the claimants, the arbitrators have deferred it to November. So in any case, till November, there is no possibility of any sale. That is first and foremost, that is the reality. Number two, we run the company for the business of the company, not for the sale of, you know, any particular asset or... Having said that, we have 6 units out of which we make our manufacturing. All of them are not of the same importance, you know, in terms of how much they produce, you know, how much we require. So it is possible that, you know, in going forward one day, you know, one unit may seem like, you know, completely
redundant
to the need. And then if the management at that point of time feels that there is a case for, you know, no further requirement for that unit, it may decide to sell. So we have got, that's it. Thank you.
Now, on this KKR, I have a few more questions. You were kind enough to answer many questions. I got left out till then because I dropped out. So kindly bear, I know 1 hour is over. But just if you bear with me, one question was, is this KKR arbitration in any manner headed towards a settlement? Or is it, are we waiting for the arbitral award?
No, so for the moment, the company has made it stand very clear that the company never participated in any of that transactions, so it was not even aware, and so it should not have any, and there is officially no claim on the company.
That's your stand. That is fine. My question, Mr. Saha, was...
Let me finish. Please bear with me. So this current adjournment which has taken place has happened at the request of the claimants. And they have officially stated that they are trying to come to some kind of a settlement with the respondents. So we just leave it at that. I mean, there has been no no move to come and settle with us so far. So perhaps they are reaching out to the primary borrowers. So that is what it appears like.
So, Mr. Saha, I'm a lawyer and a chartered accountant. That's even better news. If they are reaching out to the primary borrowers, that's even better news for us. So, that's good news. Thank you. Let me ask you a few more questions. This cylindrical disposable batteries, what are the world trends now? I know India demography is different. We have a growing middle class. But I just wanted to know, cylindrical, I'm not talking about rechargeable, disposable batteries. What is the world trend now? Is it stable, or very simply put, is a company like Duracell growing worldwide or similar companies in terms of demand?
Sir, can you just explain what do you mean by disposable rechargeable batteries?
Cylindrical, you talked about two batteries, right? Rechargeable and disposable.
Oh, cylindrical, battery. I explained that cylindrical rechargeable battery has lost its shine all over the world. Because of the hassle factor, people don't really prefer that as a...
I was talking about, that's why I used the term disposable, Mr. Saha, non-rechargeable. I was talking about world trends of consumption of non-rechargeable.
Normal batteries.
Yes, that's right.
So worldwide it is about mid-single digit kind of growth.
There is mid-single digit. Unlike, for some... strange reason, India is not showing any growth for the last 4-5 years. Is my understanding right?
Not four, five years. Last year and even in the current quarter, the carbon sink segment is not showing any growth, but that we ascribe more due to the rural part of the market being, you know, having a lower pull due to, you know, the demand sort of fill off the cart.
So we can expect growth we can expect over the next 5-10 years is what I was asking. If I take out my takeaways from the world. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. I have a few more questions. Tell me, what is the delta when you said Nielsen numbers? What is the delta between factory price and retail price just as a percentage?
Between factory price and retail price to the consumer?
Yeah.
Price to the consumer could be as much as 3 times the factory cost. It depends from product to product, of course.
No, I was talking more, yeah, so you are saying that, they're both for batteries and flashlights both, or which segment are we talking about? I just wanted to know both between.
More pronounced in the lighting segment, where the market, there is a standing practice of the MRP being discounted heavily. So what happens is that, you know, the sticker price is 160 rupees. The consumer could, depending on his relationship with the retailer being whatever mindset he has, could actually sell it for even 100 rupees, giving a discount of 60 rupees. So, you know, between the company and the MRP could be even 3x.
Okay. And I never talked about MRP really. My question was price, actually the average.
Then you
price
take it as double. You can take it as double.
Take it as double. Okay, because it's, you're saying that the deviation will be large from consumer to consumer. I can take it as. So I would therefore say that as per Nielsen data, if you're saying it's 3,000 crore, then the factory, the price is about 1,500 crores, the market size. A very rough estimate of the market
size. Very, very rough, but close.
Mrs. I have been with you for a long time. I'm not.
Yes, okay. Of course.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Just a couple of more questions. You know, on the margins, earlier you used to give more crisp replies to margin. Now, obviously, with a little bit of past history in the year or two where we didn't meet our targets, you know, you do 10% last year and you tell me that we'll do 10 and better. I would say that for your investors, you should be take a little more, you know, at the end of the day, these are all forecasts, right? So why should we say better than 10 when we are 10 last year? Our RTM is coming in place. Our flashlights are doing better. I would urge all of you here and to give us a little bit more flavor on margins, on how you're doing on your 2x in 4 years target, and some kind of a roadmap for long-term investors like me as to what are we looking at. And, you know, these are...
So just if you see, sir, that what we have responded to you, that we will be holding double digits. We have never mentioned 10%, okay, first of all. Then the point came up that you mentioned that it is a 10.7% last year. What we
that was not my question. Somebody else has asked,
and I think you are responding to that. So yes. We will try to give you as better clarity on that. But what we are saying that we will be holding to double digit, and somebody who has asked that, he said that the 10.7 is the last. So our always effort has to be better than this. But we are sitting on a commodity-driven business also, you understand. So we have demonstrated actual numbers, and I think the things has to be appreciated that we have shown healthy growth compared to last year on a operating margin. Our always endeavor has to be a better than the last year and better quarter so that you can give our shareholders a better value. That is our always effort.
No, Michael, I'm not doubting all that. All I'm saying is that with RTM in place, which we have put, and volume and economies of scale, can we not for this year, this financial year, instead of saying better, can not be a better, more crisp guidance, maybe a range 11 to 14, 14 to 16, 12 to 14. You do have this thing. I know it's a commodity-driven business, which there's so many other competitors have a commodity. But worldwide, they do give a little, a range which is a little more crisp.
I'm not saying food. So we'll try to be more crisper in coming times. Got your point and well noted.
Very well. And you are sticking to your 2x in 4 years.
So this would be the last question for today, sir.
Okay.
As of now, as you said that, you know, we are hoping towards that number because we have not changed anything. And as you have, I think Shubham has detailed graphs that what will be the battery growth roadmap, what will be the flashlight road, and what will be lighting. As we are saying that, I'm just reiterating again, we are looking forward a mid-single-digit growth in the battery coming time, double-digit growth in the flashlight, and our lighting is going to be a very, because it's a very wide space available in the lighting. So this is the way we are holding it. And of course, in the coming time, we will also look for another fourth category if required in a, maybe a 4 to 6 quarter time of frame.
Okay, one last question, if I may please. Where is your existing line of alkaline batteries? Where are those located?
No, sir. So we import the batteries. We don't have the line. We do packing in India. We don't have a manufacturing facility in India.
Sorry, I stand corrected. Thank you very much. Thank you for all your patience.
Thank you.
And congratulations. Thank you. Thank you for a job very well done now. I think I'm fairly optimistic. Thank you.
Thank you. I now hand over the conference to management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Okay. Thank you everyone for taking time out to join us on this earnings call today. I hope we have adequately answered all your questions. If you still have some more queries, please reach out to our investor relations team and we will be happy to address those. We try to interact with you all every quarter through this forum and will continue to do so. Thank you once again and look forward to connecting with you again in the next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you, members of the management team. On behalf of Everready Industries India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.